Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I had started a series of messages against socialism entitled Socialism is Anti-Christian. Acts chapter number 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Although some might say that the account that this verse comes from is an example of socialism in the Bible, and in fact socialism working quite well, it is not an example of socialism. I gave a definition for socialism, by the way. Whether it be communism or socialism, we might define the terms in theory or give a working definition, a practical definition. This definition is more of a practical definition. Socialism is when a government takes from a society in order to redistribute to that society for the supposed good of that society. Through the socialism of our day, people of this world are being trained to accept the wicked governmental system of the tribulation period. Today, if you want to start a business in America, one of the first things you might be instructed to do is to get a license or licenses from the government. One day, people will have a name or number or mark to buy or sell. If you apply that definition of socialism to these situations, consider a government taking from the people the liberty to legally operate a business unless they do what the government requires first, whether it be to buy a license or to take a number, a name, or a mark, or whatever else they might require, and then redistributing that liberty or giving that liberty to all of those that will buy the license or take the name or the mark or whatever else that they require. In this case, it is taking liberty and redistributing that liberty to ones it chooses to give it to. Here's a general rule of good governance. A person should only have to buy a license for that which would be illegal otherwise. Now, I know somebody might say, well, that's an overgeneralization, but I believe it's a good general rule. A person should only have to buy a license for that which would be illegal otherwise. The church in Acts chapter number 4 was not practicing socialism. First of all, these were the actions of a church and its members, not the actions of a government and its citizens. Number two, the people gave of their own free wills, not because they were made to through taxation. In Acts chapter number 5, the Bible tells of a couple that sold a possession and kept back part of the price and lied about it. The Apostle Peter recognized their right to private property. He told the husband, "Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." They had the right to sell it or keep it. They had the right, once it was sold, to keep the money or to give it to the church. They both lied, and they were struck down by God because they lied, saying that they had given all when actually they kept back part of the price of the land. They weren't killed for keeping back part of the price of the land, but for lying. Number three, even though this was being handled by a church, a good church, a great church, they still had problems. Acts chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Even if a good church undertakes such a task, there can still be problems that can arise. There can be oversights, mistakes made, and of course, the church is made up of sinners. And so sometimes people may just simply do something wrong. Number four, this was a very unusual situation. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1 states, "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Then in verse number 3 it states, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. I believe that God, knowing the great persecution that would come to that church, led the people to sell things and to give the money to the church rather than to lose the things in the persecution. Would it be better to keep things only to lose them or to sell them and give the money to God and to receive reward for it? Also, it was not going to be very many years before the sacking of Jerusalem. And so many of these people that were living in this day and living in this area might have lost houses, lands, businesses, possessions if they had hung on to those things. And so I think that God might have led some of them to go ahead and sell and give it to the church. This, of course, is not the normal operation of the church. I do not recommend that churches engage in these activities. But this is a good example, I believe, of a church that was led by God, the God that knows what shall happen in the future, and God foreseeing what would happen, led the people, I believe, to sell things and give them to the church. To the church. This is not the government. This is the church. The government, of course, should never intrude to take on the responsibilities that God gave the church. And even a church needs to be very careful to respect the private property of individuals. Notice in verse number 34, the Bible says, neither was there any among them that lacked. In verse number 35, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Do you trust the government to do this? Do you want the government to know so much about you that they can tell when you have a need and how much you need? Do you want cradle to grave care? Have you ever heard it said that a government powerful enough to give you all that you need is powerful enough to take all that you have? I believe that the founders of this country understood that there was a great danger in a large, powerful government. The Declaration of Independence is perhaps America's greatest national document written by man. Here is a portion of it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to establish a new government. Think of a group of people anywhere that has God-given rights, and imagine those people exercising those rights and thereby prospering. Then, in order to protect those rights, instituting and maintaining a government for the securing and protecting of those rights. The duties of good government are relatively simple. I don't trust the government to meet all of my needs. Protect our liberties is the great demand that we should make of the government. Protect my God-given rights and punish those that infringe upon them. The Constitution of the United States was an outline for a very limited federal government. The federal government was not established to supply all of our needs. The Constitution made some provisions that helped the United States to function as a nation and to be knit together as a nation and to be treated by other nations as a nation. Consider a couple of things that are found in the Constitution that might seem to be outside the parameters of a simple federal government. In the Constitution, there was the allowance for the federal government to establish post roads and post offices. I do not believe that the allowance to establish post offices and post roads was so that everyone in America could have a nice road passing by his or her home and mail coming directly to their mailboxes. But it helped to knit the nation together as a nation. I believe it was a simple provision put in the Constitution that helped our country to be knit together, to to help those individual states to be knit together. I do not think that most people realize how limited the federal government was meant to be. The government was not meant to bail out business. It was not meant to provide financial safety nets for individuals. Here's an example from very early in our nation's history to illustrate these things. In 1792 or so, just a few years after the writing of the Constitution and the establishment of the federal government, a bill came before the House of Representatives to regulate and subsidize the cod fishing industry. It seems that Mr. Livermore, which argued for the bill, thought the cod fishing industry was so important to the United States that it needed to be subsidized. So already, that early in history, the socialistic philosophy was in American government. But Mr. James Madison, the man that is known as the father of the Constitution, opposed the subsidy. Listen carefully to these words from Mr. James Madison. If Congress can employ money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may appoint teachers in every state, county, and parish and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision for the poor. They may undertake the regulation of all roads other than post roads. In short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress, for every project I've mentioned would admit the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare. Another one that opposed the subsidy stated, 3 short years has this government existed. It is not 3 years, but we have already given serious alarms to many of our fellow citizens. He went on to speak out against the subsidy. He spoke about the consequences of moving ahead with this subsidy. He said, it is not a few fishermen that will enter claiming $10,000 or $12,000, but all manner of persons, people of every trade and occupation may enter in at the breach until they have eaten up the bread of our children. Now, I want you to notice these things. These two men warned that if the door was opened by providing this subsidy, there were a variety of things that might or would take place. The federal government might appoint teachers in every state, pay them out of the public treasury, take the education of children into their own hands, assume the provision for the poor, undertake the regulation of all roads, and that people of every trade and occupation may enter in at the breach until they have eaten up the bread of our children. America has become very socialistic, and a socialistic system is a self-destructive system.
Why not now? Why not now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.